Welcome to Sri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Sri and Kira.
Namaste, beloved ones, and welcome to a very special, wonderful first show of 2015, Sri and Kira Live. Woohoo! I am Kira Ram.
And I am Sri Ramka, and welcome to the voice of passionate action.
We are delighted you are here, and we have such a big show. We are jumping right in. Today, it's Ascension and Ancient Science. We're revealing the hidden truths, and we are live. So if you want to get in that queue, go ahead and give us a call right now, 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. And we're going to really be diving into, you know, there are so many, I think there's as many spiritual beliefs. Well, Gandhi said it, that there were as many spiritual beliefs as there are beings on the planet. And, you know, is there a way to experience the divine? Are all these myths and mysteries just fiction or fact? How do we discover that? And how do we connect?
Whoa, big questions.
Yeah, big questions big year.
So first off, I want to just start with saying welcome to 2015.
Uh-huh.
And truly, the escalator to ascension is just before us. The liftoff is beginning in March of this year. However, we've been getting to the temple steps is a struggle.
Yeah, it is. You know, and then once you're there, you're so overwhelmed by the beauty and the magnificence of the temple. You're like, can I ascend? And the answer is yes. You just go one step at a time.
And remember, ascension is often misunderstood. It's not someone bopping you on the side of the head, okay? Ascension is truly the natural process of lifting into your full authenticity, lifting into the fullness of who you really are.
Mm.
And that's well beyond the body, the emotions, and the outer world.
You know, it is. And we want to remind you that here we are in January, such a powerful show today. We have a beautiful, beautiful guest, Nita Singhal, from Mumbai, India, an incredible woman with such an incredible story and much to share. And as we begin January, as we are here now, if you've been following us over the past several months, you know that we've been talking about this global chakra Vastu opening and where we're at. Well, January is an extraordinary month. You know, here we are in this month of really finding our harmony, finding our power, finding our balance, because it's all about fire, the energy of the East, while we are lifting into the energy of our spirit, a very powerful thing, because this is the first, January is the first of many activations, and it's going to open up all of humanity to their spirit. And this is why this is the month that we wanted to talk about spirit. We wanted to dive into spirit and go beyond the five elements of the world of density, go into that shapelessness of space, go into the harmonizing of all the colors, and to realize that it's about our vision of ourselves, our vision of our future. And believe it or not, that third chakra has a lot to do with our clear vision.
It's an interesting paradox living in this world, because the world is both physical and transcendent.
Mm.
It's transcendent to the extent that you can look through it, to the extent that you can see it. However, the world is always going to mirror back those pieces that we're seeking resolution upon.
You know, I love that. And of course, as we're always shared with us at the Blue Starborn, always say, what is fire? It can either be, it reminds me of like the Shiva energy. You know, fire can be very much the destroyer and the resurrector, because you have either the fire that is transmuting, or the sacred flame that is also transmuting, yet allowing the lift, allowing the reservation, allowing the resurrection. And in this January, remember, this is the energy of the East that's all around us right now. It's about
new beginnings.
It is. And it's about fulfilling your prayers, fulfilling your desires, your dreams, your abundant flow, and diving into oneness, diving into harmony. And this is why it's important to look at the ancient mysteries and the ancient sciences, because let's face it, Sri, things that a lot of many, many eons or eons, many hundreds of years we thought were myths, we now have the technology to determine are true.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that's fun is how quantum physics is confirming scientifically things that we have known in the as spiritual truths for many years.
Yeah,
you know, everything from the ability to have telepathic communication to the knowingness of what's going on in other places.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I want to remind all of you is that as we began 2015, Kira and I posted some information at YouTube. Official
right.
Sri and Kira is the name of the YouTube channel. And you're not only going to find great information about what's coming, both in January and in the months to follow, and there's a second installment. You get two for one this month.
Yeah, it's a big month, so we just put out a lot of information.
And the second installment is a wonderful PDF that you can access via the website, sriankira.com. And download that and learn more about what's going on. Because if you've been having some double vision, some blurry, some headaches, this is a signal that you're plugged in
well,
to what's really happening.
It really is. And as we mentioned, January is a month of activation. And so we also demonstrated in our Revelations video at Official Sri and Kira, we actually demonstrate an ascension activation process that you can do. So go to Official Sri and Kira at YouTube, watch both of the videos that we just put out, get to sriankira.com, click on the article, or if you're right here at sriankiraradio.com, it's the newest article. It says it right there under articles, Ascension Pathway. Click on it and grab it because it's so much and way too much for just one show. Now, you know, Sri, we have so much to share about the ancient secrets and the revelations, and we have our beloved, beloved Nita with us from Mumbai. But I also know we have so many beloved angels with us already holding online. Maybe we can say hello to some beautiful people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one thing I like is weaving.
And we live in the land of weaving, don't we? Living down here in Guatemala. Yeah.
Integrating all the threads. We're going to jump to the phone lines and welcome some of our callers into the conversation. So we'll start at line one with Eva from New Jersey.
Namaste.
Namaste. How are you?
We are delighted to speak to you, Angel. Welcome. How can we serve you?
I'm delighted to speak to you, and I would so greatly appreciate the mini reading.
Well, thank you for the honor of asking. You know, it's so perfect that you would get through today. I want you to, if it's possible, I would invite you to go ahead. And they're saying, take your thumb and your middle fingers, touch and release, activate those meridians. So thumb and middle finger, be touch and releasing, build up that energy, relax, breathe, and then take those middle fingers both to your third eye and let the thumbs rest on your temples. And I'm doing this with you too, my love. And the reason that we're starting with this is there is this huge, huge energy around you. I want you to just breathe up and feel that, that is activating with the energy of the planet. You have a deep divine connection with everything that's happening on the planet right now. And in the spirit world, all of these beautiful angels and guides that are around you are inviting you right now to dance the dance of knowing. And they just keep saying this over again. And I'm watching them spin and swirl, and I'm watching you spin and swirl. And they just keep saying, dance the dance of knowing, dance the dance of knowing, that if you continue to dance the doubt of fear, then your greatest fear will manifest. And it's important for you to know that as you dance the dance of knowing, you will unwind the fear, relax into the depth of the truth, and call forward the final resources needed. And they keep saying three. Now, that's very powerful because, as you know, we're 3 months from this powerful full moon of March, which is the activation. And for you right now, it's about the three. And it's so funny. They just keep saying no, act, and be. No, you know, K-N-O-W, no, act, and be, and that everything will come forward for you, and to relax any doubts or fears because you're being supported. And they just, they're all laughing and saying, we hear you and we are supporting you, and it is your time. And so it is, my love. This activation they gave you, by the way, you should do at least 3 times a day for the next 3 weeks. And I think you'll discover it will have a much greater, I want to use the word impact because that's the word they're giving me, on your ability to feel very clearly guided. And so it is.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Thank you so much. Incredible.
Thank you so much. We love you.
Love
Namaste.
You
Many blessings.
Many blessings. Well,
And so, beloved listeners, I remind you that every reading, every sharing is for every one of us.
Who do you feel that? My crown chakra is still just so, I'm still dancing. I'm still wanting to dance. And I think that's part of the gift of when we unlock the ancient secrets, when we allow our heart to become one with our field of energy, we become illuminated. We become enlightened. And when we become enlightened, we realize that, you know, these ancient myths and mysteries were founded. You know, there's so many things that were, that are true, that for years and years and years we've denied, that are now all coming forward as fact.
Absolutely. You know, the over the eons, what was once a factual interaction, whether with a divine being or other things that you might consider phenomenon, sometimes a myth builds up around them and people get ever more distant over the millennia. However, truth is truth. And when we look deeply, we begin to sit abstracted beliefs and we find the essence of what's there.
Well, and our cosmic connections.
And our cosmic connection, absolutely. And that's why so many people over the eons have been drawn to India, because Hinduism is the world's oldest religion. And it spawned from the interaction with cosmic beings many millennia ago. And it's no accident that we're bringing this back forward into your attention at this time, because as we are in the time of self-ascension, as we are the time of reconnection, of course, you're going to reconnect to your cosmic origins.
You are. You know, Sri, as you're sharing that, my heart is just so expanded. You know, as many of you know, I'm a Gita scholar, and having read many different versions of also of the Mahabharata, it's important to recognize that, for example, Sri, Dwarka, the beautiful ancient capital city of Krishna, for many, many years was debated heavily in India whether this was fact or fiction. Well, now we're at a time where we know that they found this submerged city, and this ties into the way the city was submerged and as it reads in the Mahabharata, and here it is, it's coming forward. And I'm excited because we're actually going to be there in October.
Absolutely. And for those of you who don't know, the Mahabharata is a wonderful epic tale of kingdoms and movements and Krishna and Shiva. And the long and the short of it is, it's an amazing thing to discover a sunken Atlantis and verify that it was really there.
Exactly, exactly. And there's so many other things that are happening like this. And before we dive into more, how about we say hello to another beautiful being?
Absolutely. We're going to go to San Diego. And on line two, we have Maureen.
Namaste, dear one. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Blessings to both of you. I'm so happy to speak with you.
Well, blessings to you, my angel. Just connecting with you is a joy.
Oh, you're so sweet. I enjoy your show very much. And I wanted to see if I can get a soul reading.
Absolutely. It would be our honor to offer you that gift today. Now, amazing. I am seeing, wow, this is so beautiful. If it's safe for you to close your eyes, I'd like you to do that because I want you to bring all of your attention right now to your feet. And as my eyes are closed with you, I'm seeing these beautiful lotuses coming up from your feet. And your feet are literally becoming lotuses in front of me. It's like you're dissolving into this beautiful, they keep talking about the sea of humanity. Humanity has met the sea of compassion, has met the seas of emotion, and that all of these are weaving together for you to arise anew. That along with it, of course, you got through today, my angel. For you, it's about new life, new world. But everything that brought you here needs to be honored, respected, and remembered. And that's why it's showing as this lotus. And they're saying for you, walking and connecting. I really encourage you, go out and walk barefoot if you can, maybe go out to a beach or just walk out into your backyard. Just go somewhere and connect with your bare feet. And they're saying, let your arms rest long, let your fingers point to the ground. And as you simply move your fingers, feel the energy of your heart burst forth with 1,000 new suns, 1,000 new energies, and 1,000 new lives of opportunity. You're like, you're in this incredibly blessed moment where whatever you want will manifest for you. All it takes is this moment of conscious walking and feeling the lotus bloom, because this is your moment. This is your year. And for you, the number you're resonating with is actually 2015. It's the entire year is going to be magical. And so I'm so grateful you could call in today. And thank you for allowing us all to see this beauty that you're birthing for yourself and our planet. We love you, angel. Namaste.
Oh, namaste. I love you too. Thank you. That was so beautiful. I have chills all up and down. I'm very warm.
Well, allow that warmth to just be part of your growth and have an amazing year. I'm so happy for you. Namaste.
Thank you. Namaste.
Many blessings. And that reminds me once again, just to underscore the reality that as we relax into our sacred hearts, as we relax into our truth, we are on the escalator to ascension.
Well, you know, we are. And speaking of escalator, Sri, I'm reminded of some of the Hindu paintings. And if you look at a lot of these paintings, even a lot of Christian art, they always show these flying objects in the sky.
Ooh,
and,
yes,
you know, and they all talk about, you know, how did that happen? Well, my loves, remember that what Sri was talking about earlier is that quantum physics has also shown us that multidimensional realities are real. Multidimensional experiences are real. Can you connect with the divine? Absolutely. All it takes is that deep breath of recognition that you are the divine, and then allowing yourself to harness the gifts and the tools. You know, we are very excited. In just a few moments, we'll be bringing on Nita from Mumbai. And one of the gifts that Nita has brought to the world is the resurrection of what in Hindu mythology we refer to as Shiva's tears. And that these beautiful tears of compassion were shed on the behalf of humanity that became the Rudrashka tree. And if you read the ancient Upanishads and the Puranas and all these other beautiful Vedic scriptures, you realize not only were the blue star born talking through there, and in my heart, I feel strongly that Lord Shiva was the first blue star born incarnate to be able to show us the way, and that Krishna was a continuation, and so many more. But that as we dive into 2015, the ancient mysteries are being verified by science, and it's the time when our heart and our head will unify. And is that not the first step to ascension, to allow the heart and the head to unify?
Absolutely. And one of the fantastic things that we're going to touch on with chatting with Nita is the power of the Rudrashka seeds that were truly talked of as the tears of Shiva, the tears of a divine being that sprouted a tree that carries with it healing properties. And I can tell you, my friends, this is not a myth.
No,
there are actual healing properties that come from these seeds, far beyond that of flower essences or herbs of various types. They are an energetic balancer so that we can walk the escalator to ascension.
Absolutely. You talk about unifying ancient science with the ascension energy.
And that's really the magic. Ancient science, modern perception, and the open heart will always guide us to our ascended moments. And so, beloved one, speaking of ascended moments,
yes,
we're going to have to take a station break here, and we're going to have a little commercial messages, and then we'll be back to talk more about Rudrashka and meet Nita Singhal.
Stay with us. A lot of show to go.
Welcome to the Self-Ascension Classroom, affordable and beautiful home study for your mystical journey. Imagine the gift of studying everything that you've ever wanted at home and on your time. Yes, it is possible, and there is so much to choose from as you dive into your home study experience. Remember that with every moment you spend studying this gift, you ignite your divinity. Imagine the mysteries of the Toheel and the crystalline clarity and radiant abundance of Vesa, a mastery balancing technique and certification process, and then cosmic life regression. Travel the universe and remember, allow yourself the gift of navigating the inner matrix. This beautiful ascended mastery program of the Violet Flame will take you to places you may not have dared to dream to go. And then you will rediscover the true gift of your divine nature. Yes, the time is now to study the ancient mysteries, and it's so easy to begin. Discover the Self-Ascension Classroom only at SriandKira.com. That's SriandKira.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. We're delighted to be with you.
You know, we really are. This is such a beautiful start to 2015. And here we are with this extraordinary fire energy for the month of January. And we've been talking a lot today about the ascension energies of 2015 and how ancient science is kind of proving itself. You know, what we used to think was mythical is now we've kind of lived long enough and technology has gotten advanced enough that we're starting to discover the beauty of these ancient myths as reality.
Well, indeed, you know, from a distant perspective, it makes perfect sense that generation after generation would tell their stories, would have an oral record that would turn into a written record. And every time you tell a story, it gets changed a little.
Well, it's that telephone game, isn't it? You know, you ever play that game when you were a kid, you know, and somebody whispers in the ear something, and by the time it gets to the end, everybody's like, oh my goodness, that's not even close. But the reality is, if you take away the telephone game, if you take away the myths, underlying that are some very powerful truths. And we've been talking about them during the first half of the show and exploring this and talking about the energies that are opening up on the planet, of course, as we've head toward this powerful moment. And Sri, I really want to dive into how powerfully the Shiva, and I'm going to say the word myth in quotes, and the tears of Shiva, and how the Rudrashka came forward as we started talking about in the first half of the show, how much that has shifted our lives and how much you and I have rediscovered through this blessing. You know, I mean, I think about this time last year when I was screaming out to the universe saying, hey, you know, where's my guru? Show me.
You know, we all need help and assistance from time to time. And it's important to rekindle your trust in the universe. And regardless of religious overlays, belief systems, etc., it's been my perception that everything humankind needs is already on this planet, that the beautiful herbs and drugs that were derived from the Amazon have certainly spawned a whole pharmaceutical industry, which is a different conversation, and yet the natural healing is there. And over in the on the other side of the globe, the Rudrashka tree has carried with it a mythology and an energy that Westerners are only beginning to appreciate. You know, it wasn't that long ago that the first yogis of the East came to North America.
Well, you know, I think most famously people think of Paramahansa Yogananda in the 1930s, and certainly I have a beautiful love and affinity for that extraordinary being, and his whole mission was this unification of East and West philosophies and to be able to show how much there is an overlay, that we are one, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely, and certainly in later years it's become more popular and accepted to Ayurvedic science and medicine and the herbal wisdom from India.
Right.
The reason I offer that is the Rudrashka is one of those elements that has a long history and is associated with prayer malas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the Westerners, you look at the gurus and the devotees of different Hindu sects, and you'll often see them wearing the beads around their neck.
Well, you know, I have to talk about that because in every faith, there is their form of a mala. You know, you look at the rosary beads of a Catholic, you look at the prayer beads of a Tibetan, you look at the Buddhist chanting beads, you look at, there's so many things, but when we get to the essence of where did this begin, it was born out of the beauty of this blue star born of Vesa energy, the tears of Shiva that brought forward these stunning seeds, the Rudrashka seeds, that were then created to form a sacred energy. And there's so much that got lost in translation, you know, so much. Just like with everything else, I see so many people, you know, certainly living here in Guatemala, so many people have rosary beads hanging from their rearview mirror, or they have whatever. But the sacredness, the understanding of this, it can be lost. And this is why understanding the science, understanding the beauty of the sacred Rudrashka is more than just understanding an ancient mythology. This is an actual science. This is an actual gift that has come forward on the planet again through Nita Singhal, who I'm very excited to have on the show in just a moment, and through her many, many years of research, and then over 20,000 people, and including you and I now, this is just something that you can't deny. It's an undeniable blessing. And I feel that with 2015 being the start or the herald of this next ascension moment, that's why it's being revealed right now.
Well, everything has a timing, and there's certainly is a season where we're ready to accept the fruits of what's been offered. Now, the Rudraksha tree is truly a grand, beautiful tree. And the beads that form these malas are actually the seeds of the tree. Mm-hmm. So if you just pause for a moment and think about the blessing that the great trees provide to us on the planet, and many people have an affinity to, you know, the Russian cedars and the pines and the pine oils. And here from this part of the world, we have the Rudraksha,
which is actually a form of an evergreen. And, you know, I giggle because, of course, here in Guatemala, these are, even here, these trees are considered sacred. We don't have the Rudraksha trees, but the fruit itself. And I love how, as cosmic mystical beings, when we open up our heart, when we open up our pathway and remember that we left signs here, you know, through all of our past lives, we seeded the planet, and the planet has been so cosmically seeded so that when the time was right, we would remember. And I just love that these fruits are blue. They're this beautiful blue color. And, you know, to think about how, you know, talk about the abuse, to think about how so many just throw these into vats of acid to reveal the Rudraksha kills them, which is why the electromagnetic energies have been buried for so long. I mean, that's part of it.
Well, yeah, let me just back up for a second. What we've learned, jumping ahead and jumping back here, is that each of these seeds actually emanates an energy. And that energy, it can be felt, it can be seen on sensitive instrumentation, and that the quality of the energy actually varies according to the number of faces on the seed, you know, the number of seeds inside the seed.
It's called a muki.
Yeah, the muki.
The muki face.
So in a scientific standpoint, there is an energetic wave that comes from these living seeds. Now, they're also visually attractive. So consider for a moment what happens when a subtle energy emanator is not really honored.
Right,
And the seeds are harvested, and the quickest way to separate the fruit from the seed is to throw them in some acid and grind away the flesh of the fruit.
Well, actually, when you say that, it hurts me. It hurts my heart. And here's the other piece, too, is that because of the mythology or the lore, going back to the first half of the show and what we were talking about, a lot of people fabricate them, and they're artificial. They paint them. They make them out of ceramic.
You can even get them in plastic.
Exactly.
And so.
But yet you don't know that.
No. To the naive or uneducated consumer, you don't know the difference unless you're highly sensitive and you start feeling. But even then, you have to compare them.
Yes.
You have to compare the real thing to what's not so good. And so what we're sharing with you is that there is a miracle right here on the planet, growing, and if it's harvested correctly, if it's not adulterated and treated with chemicals and other acids and things, the energetic qualities are preserved, and when they're brought close to your body responds in a good way.
Well, you know, I like to call it that these are the tree crystals. That's kind of how I describe them as, you know, for those of you that have an affinity to crystals, which, you know, of course, Sri, my beloved husband, I always call him the Merlin of the crystal world. But these are really tree crystals. And the reason I say that is if you take a crystal in your hand and it's just been dormant somewhere, like you walk into a store or you see a crystal and you pick it up, you might first pick it up because it's visually attractive, but yet the energy isn't there. But if you pump it with love, if you invite it to awaken, because it has a living matrix, it will. And that's the similar gift of the Rudraksha, that the Rudraksha, if you have a Rudraksha that has been hand, you know, washed, meaning that instead of being thrown into a vat of acid, it's been hand revealed through the fruit. It's been lovingly prayed over. It's been held with the sacred energy. It's been rubbed with sandalwood paste and sandalwood oil. It's been invited to come forward. The mukis are revealed. Because remember, you can go from a one, which Sri and I both wear at our neck. It's called a Shiv Netra. It's a divine connection to the universe all the time, all the way up to 21 faces. And so there's an overlay in this of ascended numerology. There's an overlay of the energetic principles of the way that these lay out, the way that they're worn. This is the beauty, that when you hold something with sacred energy, then it gives back. It becomes a union. It becomes a sacred union.
And there's a whole science, and much more than we can cover here today. The number of faces, the quality of the energy of these seeds affects the human body in different ways, affects your energy field in different ways, different organs, different systems. It's truly a science. And that science takes a little bit of study in order to understand.
Yes, it does.
And for those of you that might be listening to this on a podcast, we invite you to drop back to SriAndKiraRadio.com, and there's a button on the homepage to the actual curriculum where you can learn all about this.
And, you know, we feel so strongly about this, that with this year of ascension, with 2015, you know, this is the year a lot of people thought was going to happen in 2012. It's actually happening now. And that especially as we go through the first 3 months of the year leading up to what we're calling the ascension escalator of March, which is just going to grow in energies over the next 7 years, my angels. Remember, we're 2015 through 2022. And so click on that button and learn more about the Rudrashka science and join our class. You know, if you happen to be hearing this before mid-January 2015, then join Sri and I live. This is a $22 world service class. You're going to be receiving literally thousands of dollars of information for $22 because we feel so strongly about this. And if you're joining us after the middle of January, it's a home study program.
Absolutely, and the recordings will be there for you. But nonetheless, we are really excited about this science and being able to support your education, let alone your harmony and your peace and health. And the other aspect of this is the understanding of the energies of sacred gemstones.
Yes.
That's called Ratna,
That
science. So the Rudrashka seeds carry energetic balancing energies that support the chakra system of the human body. The Ratna also works with the meridians. So these gemstones, you know how you might be attracted to an emerald or a ruby or a sapphire and you go, oh, I have an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
That's your instinctual knowing. The science is knowing which finger that stone should be on, which meridian needs that energy.
Well, and unlike wearing something solely for jewelry purposes, it's the size of the stone, it's the way that it's cut, it's the way that it's set, it's the way that you wear it. And, you know, Sri, this is where we really need to start talking about Nita Singhal.
Absolutely. And so we're really excited about this science and the natural holistic properties of it. And a person that has brought this forward that we had the honor to meet is Nita.
You know, Nita is such a beautiful soul on this planet. There are, as all of us know, you know, as we are ready, the teachers appear, and as the teachers appear, more teachers are made. And that's the beauty. You know, Sri and I have had that beauty. We recently celebrated our 12th wedding anniversary, and, you know, for 12 years, we've been dedicated that this is our life, this is our mission, this is our service. You know, we recently had someone ask me, he said, how do you guys do and accomplish everything you do? And I just had to sit and smile and remind myself that because this is not our work, this is our life. And I share that because that's very much what Nita has done. Nita Singhal came into our lives after, quite frankly, a very powerful serendipitous event. Sri and I were doing a class, we were teaching, and there was a woman who was wearing, a beautiful woman, Aparna, hi Aparna, who was wearing a Rudrashka crystal mala that called to me in a way that a mala has never called to me before. And it sent me on a search. And a lot of you may have already read our book, Kira's Cure. If you have not read Kira's Cure, you can grab it at Amazon. It's on, you know, Kindle. You can get it in PDF. You can grab it at our website. You can grab it right here at the Sri and Kira Radio site. Just click on claim your cure. But the reason I mention that is because, as you know, Sri and I spent a year dealing with some very serious physical challenges. And it was during that time that I kept calling out to the Archangel Gwelum. I kept calling out to the Ascended Masters. I kept calling out to the universe and saying, show me, show me. I felt like there was a missing piece for Sri and I. We are birthing the cosmic Essene back on the planet again. We've been working with the Blue Starborn and the Archangelic Realm. But there was this piece, like this final piece of the puzzle, so to speak.
Well, you know, I'm pausing for a moment because bringing spirit into form, when we connect with the etheric realms, things are certainly a lot more easy when we're not dealing with the body.
Yeah.
But the physical body is both a joy and a responsibility, and it is indeed carries all the marks of your travel, and it's the intersection between the joy of your energy and the effort of physical life. And the key is to transform effort into ease, to allow the body to be a happy partner in your earthly journey. And so, yes, the solution for happy partnership is partially spiritual and to a large part energetic.
Absolutely. And you know, through all this experimentation and calling out and paying attention to the signs of the universe, shortly after Aparna left, she was here for a beautiful workshop with us, I discovered Nita. And this was no accident. This was meant to be. Nita was already talking to Sri and I through the mala that Aparna was wearing. And the moment that I connected with Nita and her work, there was a sense of home. There was a sense of completion. There was a sense of this was the missing piece. This brought together Avesa. This brought together the Blue Starborn reunion, because of course Shiva was Blue Starborn. This brought together the cosmic Essene. And so of course, similar to when Sri and I first had the blessing of receiving the Egyptian healing rods, we became our first guinea pigs.
Absolutely. And both Kira and I started to experiment with the different Rudrashka beads, with the sacred jewelry of the Ratna. And it didn't take very long to feel the positive results.
Yeah, you know, we were so blessed that after having the blessing of working with Nita and being with her tutelage for a while, and all of the beautiful people, Aish, all the beautiful people at her facilities, it became evident that this is a world service mission, that this is important for people to remember, because it's more than just about connecting with the energy. It's about what it ignites inside of you. And I smile because it reminds me so much of one of my first beloved teachers, Paramahansa Yogananda, that this was about a unification. It's a unification energy. You know, many years ago, Sri and I took a group to Egypt on a unification tour. We were in the headwaters of the Ganges, raising the Dome of Divine Protection back in 2005. We've traveled the world on sacred journeys, bringing this unified energy. And this is the piece. This is like the final piece of the puzzle. And I think the person to talk about it the best is Nita.
Absolutely. She is standing by, and we want to bring her into the conversation here in a moment. I just want to say that it's a delight to reconnect with soul sisters, soul brothers, and spiritual family. And we're going to open up the phone line here, and we're going to go all the way over to India to bring Nita into the conversation. And we are truly honored that technology is serving spirit in this way.
And before we bring her in, let me just share with you a little bit about this amazing woman. Nita spent 10 years in her research. And, you know, to her credit, she is a courageous, true pioneer of the Rudrashka science. There's so many different things. You can get so confused, just like with so many spiritual journeys. But Nita was focused. She has a very, very powerful scientific background. So, of course, she brought that in. This wasn't just coming from an esoteric model. She also, through her own discoveries and the way that she discovered that you need to wear Rudrashka, the what ones work best on what side of the body, the alignments, what the mukhis really mean, diving into these, she did something I think Sri was very courageous. In India, where of course this has the greatest understanding, or let's just say the greatest awareness among the general population, she had the courage to come forward and say, this has been manipulated. This is not being done correctly. And I'm going to have the courage and the tenacity and the spiritual wisdom to show you the way it should be done. And that was not easy for her.
Well, absolutely. You know, rather than just follow the dogma, she began to check it, back check it, catalog it, and then go into deep meditation and ask for guidance. And the result of this spiritual quest is that she came up with what was revealed through her was a refinement on how to correctly use these gifts. And some of it flew in the face of tradition.
I think a lot of it
did. And other parts of it validated
yes.
the deep heritage
yes.
of this Hindu wisdom.
Yes, and so she is a courageous, beautiful woman who has really done a service for mankind, and it has been our blessing to spend time with her and to learn through her. And so I think without further ado, we should bring Nita into the program.
Nita, we are so delighted to be with you today, and So many people have been benefiting from the beautiful Rudrashka wisdom that has come forward from you. And we would like to explore a little further how this came to be. How did you come to recognize this ancient wisdom?
There must have been a point in your life where suddenly this became a passion or an overwhelming understanding from the divine. And so how did this happen for you?
Okay, thank you so much. Before I start this, I would like to say, Kira and Sriram, I'm very grateful that you have recognized the power of Rudraksha the way I did. And you are doing beautiful by spreading this message to the world. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's our honor.
So what happened, how I started this journey, Kira, that when I returned from Indonesia in the year 2000, so that was the time, you know, when I came across these beads. And the more and more I started, you know, getting curious about these beads, I read several holy books about them. And that really interested me to start a website to make people aware about Rudraksha. So that time, you know, when I was reading the holy books, I was very surprised that in the ancient texts, they don't mention any taboo and they mention several miracles of these beads. So because of this, you know, knowledge, I started spreading this knowledge through the website initially. Then after that, what happened was then slowly, slowly, because of my scientific bent of mind, I started seeing that there should be some special way of using these beads, which will tap the actual power of the beads. And that led me to a journey where I started meditating and researching on the beads. And that took me about 3 to 4 years, where by the grace of Lord Shiva and all the, you know, all the divine spirits in this world, where I was able to understand how to actually tap the power of the Rudraksha beads as well as the gemstones.
So this, at that moment, through the communion in meditation and the knowledge that was revealed, you discovered how to place these on the body, where to wear them, which ones to use. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. Actually, how it started was quite different. What happened was that for a couple of years, we were stringing Rudraksha the traditional way because we found that there was a hole which was natural from the tree. So what we did was, what was very logical, what other people were doing across several years, we just strung the beads, you know, using thread or a metal wire, and we just strung them together and wore on the chest. But what happened was that, you know, I used to find the clients were happy with the beads, but, you know, they were not healed completely, and they were not, like, the being of a scientific bent of mind, I used to ask that when the religious books say that this particular bead cures this ailment or this particular bead attracts abundance in the life, why my clients are not 100% fit? Why they are not 100% satisfied? So that took me on a journey to study or research again about the correct way of stringing. So when I did that, then, you know, I had to research on each bead one by one. I started placing the bead on my body chakra for a couple of days. And then, you know, depending on whether the chakra got opened or I felt heaviness in the chakra, I started finding how the beads were associated with the chakras.
Beautiful, beautiful. And it truly takes both a scientific mind and an intuitive perception.
Absolutely.
In harmony, in order to come to that balance and know.
So, you know, I listened to your story and it's so beautiful and so healing, and you've given so many gifts to so many people. How was it for you to be able to start sharing this with people? Because this was obviously very, very different than what most people believed. So how was it when you started sharing that? Was that something that you had to help people learn, or were they convinced simply by the results? What did it feel like when you started sharing this with the world?
Yes, initially what happened, Kira, that, you know, when I discovered the beads worked on the chakra levels, so initially we were stringing the beads at the chakra levels, you know, and it was only later I found that they could be placed in the form of bracelets also. And, you know, it's not easy to convince people to wear bracelets or to wear beads strung this way, because people want to wear beads very comfortably in form of a mala, etc. But I was so firm on the results that I found, because I found that when you don't wear the beads in the right way, there was heaviness in the chakras, and definitely it was not comfortable. So for me, you know, whether the client wanted it or not, the right way of wearing was very, very important. And what I found was that rather than publishing it in the book or on the website, I found that when the client came to me with full trust, and I told him that, yes, this is the way I want you to wear, you trust me and then you see the results. So the feedback I got from them was very encouraging.
Beautiful.
So then, you know, that was the time when I decided that rather than publishing and making the full world aware of the right way to use these miraculous beads and gemstones, it is the best way is I go forward with healers, practitioners who understand, and clients can trust them, and clients will wear according to how they recommend. So this is the guidance I got, and that is how, you know, I met wonderful people across the globe.
Beautiful. You know, the Rudrashka malas have been around for as long as I've been awake. And I have seen so many great teachers wearing them. However, what you have taught is a little different than I had ever been exposed to. And so it caused me, when I first was introduced to your work, it caused me to question, is this an advancement or is this a diversion? And before you respond to that, I want to say to you, I'm the kind of person that says, well, let me find out for myself.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So as I began to work with the beads, I went, oh, I understand now, because I feel more complete.
Yes.
I feel more energetically robust when I follow your prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, we have been seeing, you know, pictures of the gods, even Lord Shiva himself, mm-hmm. wearing the Rudraksha on the upper arm, on the wrist. So even the gods have shown, wear them all over, wear them on the waist, wear them on the head. But we never notice what we are seeing also.
Yes. Now, you have had the opportunity to work with many people over the years. Could you share with us a little bit about some of your successes? What have people improved in their lives?
See, basically, you know, we meet varied kind of people. Like, there are people who are facing physical illness. So we found that these beads were excellent in cases where the illness was recurrent. Like, you had to tackle the problem from the root. Like problem like migraines from childhood, or problems like recurrent cold, cough, blood pressure, which, you know, cannot be cured by traditional medicines. So for Rudraksha, I found that because it deals with the level of the chakras, and once the chakra is healed, the disease gets cured from the base level. So one is, in physical health, we found a lot of benefits, although we never advertised the physical benefits. So, and secondly, for emotional problems, for cases like depression, emotional instability, we found that the clients benefited immensely. They felt more complete. They felt more contented. They felt more with themselves. So it helped in emotional cases also. And since, you know, what you are within is what you experience outside. So once, you know, people were emotionally healthy, physically healthy, they definitely manifested abundance, good relationships in the outside world. So it came as a byproduct.
Yes. Yeah. So many people seek abundance as a goal, but what they're really seeking is harmony and inner peace. And then the abundance comes. And so, you know, the Rudraksha beads are actually living gifts that
yes.
have been bestowed to us.
Yes.
And you also teach a lot of information about the use of sacred gemstones. Could you talk a little bit about how these work and how they work together?
Yes. See, see, the thing is that, you know, we have got basically two type of chakras in the body. One type of chakra is what we can say that chakra which connects us to the outside world, and one type of chakra is what connects the outside world to us. So we have chakras in the front of the body, which is how we interact with the world, and we have chakras at the back of the body, which is how we perceive the world interacting with us. So Rudraksha beads, they heal the front chakras, and gemstones heal the back chakras. So today, you know, if a client has an issue that the world doesn't support me, or I don't meet the right kind of people in my life, or I am not attracting enough abundance, then he needs to wear the gemstones of those chakras. But if a client feels, you know, that he needs to heal himself from within, he feels that I am not enough, I am not giving enough output to the world, or he's judging himself, or he feels weak in some aspects of life. So to empower himself from within, he needs to wear the Rudraksha beads. So they work in partnership.
Yes, especially as you just explained about the front and the back and the receiving and the giving. I fully understand what you're saying, and I want to just suggest to our listeners that we're dealing with a subtle energy that truly must be experienced.
Yes.
You know, the mind can accept that we would have a benefit. However, when we experience the benefit, then we are more robust. We're simply better at being ourselves.
Yes, very true. And basically, we can say that we have to allow the energy. Rudraksha beads and gemstones, one just needs to surrender to the healing energy, and then they do the work of cleansing your chakras, of attracting good people in your life, for attracting, you know, opportunities in your life. You just need to surrender, and they will work for you.
Beautiful.
That is
beautiful.
So true.
And the other thing I want to comment is the jewelry that uses the sacred ratna, the gemstones, is so beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
And in conjunction with the malas, with the bracelets, we have found a way to adorn ourselves, the temple of the divine in a way that's not only beautiful, but is balancing and brings harmony into our lives. And I'm very grateful for this.
Yeah, truly. You know, Nita, we are so grateful that you have been on the show with us today. And as we say goodbye to you today, we would love to have you just share, if speaking to the world right now, what would you want them to know about Rudraksha Ratna?
Basically, I would like to say that Rudraksha beads, you know, they are very powerful, you know, in the way that they release your fears. And the only obstacle in a human's life is fears and limitations. We have to realize our true being. We have to realize who we truly are. And these beads, you know, which are the gift of Lord Shiva, are basically meant to, you know, make you release your fears and realize the empowered being that you are. So that is my message to the world, that you have to know who you are, and there is an immense potential sitting inside you waiting to be revealed.
Thank you so much, and namaste, because that is such a beautiful blessing to give to everyone and for everyone to receive. And I know that Sri and I can certainly attest to the fact that I have my beads. It's the first thing I put on in the morning, the last thing I take off at night, and I notice the difference.
Yes. I have clients, you know, they say that I have stopped wearing my gold and diamond jewelry. All jewelry I want is only Rudraksha and Ratna.
That's so true. I'm one of them.
No, yes. I fully understand this now, because not only is it beautiful, it is balancing and healing. And I have myself noticed I'm much more available to be of service in the world. And so, Nita, thank you for spending this time with us today. We are truly grateful, and we wish only the best for you and your family. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm honored. Thank you so much.
I always enjoy when Nita's with us. I'm so grateful we could all get together with her. Why don't we bring our hands to our heart and just take in a deep, conscious breath. And in this moment, I want you to feel as if Sri and I are draping a beautiful Rudraksha mala around your neck right now. And I want you to receive that gift, take in a breath and just go, ah, there you are. Feel the energy, feel the love. It's like carrying a love and a hug with you. And I'm so excited, Sri, because 1 week from this Tuesday is our very first class where we're going to be teaching this live. It's the first and only time Sri and I will be actually teaching this live. It's a series of three teleclasses. It's $22. If you have not yet joined, click on the button. If you're at Sri and Kira Radio, click on the button right there that says Discover Ancient Rudrashka Science, or go to sriandkira.com. You'll see it right there on the home page, or go to www.guatemala.chakrayoga.com and you'll see it there as well.
Well, there's truly a wealth of information and documentation, and it's a delightful conversation to have. We look forward to you joining us. And speaking of delightful conversations, I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for having offered your love and attention as we've shared with you today. You know, there's so much going on in our world right now, and sometimes it can seem like, a lot. It's important to recognize that your soul knows the way. Inside of you are the codes. Inside of you is the love and the divine connection. And our job, and I think all of our jobs, is to help each other awaken, to help each other remember the love that we are inside. And this is truly the magic of spiritual community.
Well, especially as we're in this year of ascension. You know, today it was about ascension and ancient science. And as you navigate all of January, as you navigate all of 2015, it's important to remember that we are collectively at a moment in our human history that has not been before. We are at a moment of rapid escalation. There is energy that is available for those that are choosing to connect with it. And there are tools that are available to help that connection be more grace-filled, more ease-filled. And this is the blessing of our technology without, you know, going to the abuse side of technology, that this ancient science is now being proven, that we're getting rid of the manipulations, that telephone game is unraveling, and we're starting to see the purity again. We're starting to see the beauty again if we choose to. And I know that you're listening to this show because you choose to.
Absolutely. So, beloved listeners, we're at that time where I invite you to bring a hand to your heart and a smile to your face. Take a deep breath and simply remember, all is truly well. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.